Well, today we celebrate the fact that three people who have been worshiping with us for a while have decided this is a good soil to plant themselves in and have taken the steps to find out what it means to be a member of this church, and they have agreed to officially become part of us. We give God the glory as we welcome Lorraine, her mom, Mrs. Chambers, and Kellyanne into the family of SSBC. Amen?
Amen.
To God indeed be the glory. We are very grateful that God has kept you and you are pleased to be part of this church. Well, Christmas is just round the corner. By the way, I'm speaking from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 4. We'll read that a bit later. And the title is Oaks of Righteousness. Oaks of Righteousness. As I said, Christmas is just around the corner, and during this period, we are reminded of the birth of Jesus, and those who are even far from God celebrate Jesus without knowing it. It is so funny. I mean, you look at their houses, and they are awash with lights, proclaiming that Jesus is the light of the world. Amen? Isn't that a good thing? You know, so they celebrate Jesus, and they don't even know they're doing that. I mean, this baby Jesus, we know, grew up as normal babies do, and he grew into an adult, and at his baptism, we read that the Holy Spirit rested upon him like a dove. And I'm yet to find any baby born here, or anywhere else for that matter, who doesn't grow, unless, of course, they are sickly. Some sickly babies do not grow. But normal babies actually do grow. And Jesus did grow into an adult. Amen?
Amen.
And he died on the cross. And he rose from the dead as he said he would. And he appeared to his disciples. And he breathed his Holy Spirit on them. Amen.
Amen.
And by doing that, it gives us the indication that we too, when we come to Jesus, he breathes his Spirit upon us. Amen. And the same Spirit that rested upon Jesus is available to us too. However, one needs to be hungry for the Spirit of God to come upon them. Amen.
Amen.
Just let me say this. Don't worry if you have not crossed the line of faith yet, if you don't know Jesus as your leader and forgiver. Do not worry if you do not believe that he's real and these things that I'm speaking about today are true. All I need you to do is just be open. Amen. Just be open, just listen, and let the Holy Spirit do what he will do. And if you have any questions, speak to me or any of the service leaders after service. We'd be more than happy to explain to you. So take a deep breath. This is a good place to be, amen?
Amen.
And relax. Well, the message of salvation is good news. Coming to God is good news. Jesus is good news, amen? God's desire is to make what the enemy has stolen, to make good what the enemy has stolen from us. And God's desire is to give us life and give it abundantly. But the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen? God's desire is to make sure that whatever it is that the enemy is stealing from you, he makes good, because that's his business. Amen? The message of salvation is that Jesus was born to die for you and I. And by accepting Jesus as our forgiver and leader, we have access to God. Amen. I just pray that today you just open your heart and receive what is coming. There are two responses that I believe it's possible at the end of the preach today. One, either you receive what is you hearing today, and you do something about it, or reject it, and walk away and do nothing at the end of the day. But I pray your response will be, brethren, what shall we do? Amen.
Amen.
I pray that your response will be, brethren, what shall we do? So as I said, Jesus died and he rose again. And when he was with the disciples, or before he ascended to heaven, he said to them, wait for the promise of the Father. And the disciples did that through praying and fasting. Now, when they were waiting, at least we have read the Bible now, so we know that something happened on the day of Pentecost, right? They received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But for them at the time, when Jesus said to them, wait for the promise of the Father, they didn't know what they were waiting on. But they waited, they were obedient and waited through praying and fasting. And on the day of Pentecost, it says the Holy Spirit came upon them like tongues of fire. And it was at that point, it was when the Holy Spirit came upon them that they started doing the very things that Jesus did. In the same way, every believer, everyone who has accepted Jesus as their forgiver and leader, has the Spirit of God living with them or within them. Amen? I don't want you to go cold on me. I need to know that you're awake. Amen? So if you're sitting next to someone in their sleep, just nudge them a little, yeah, and wake them up. So in the same way, as I said, in the same way, every believer who has accepted Jesus as their forgiver and leader has the Spirit of God living in them. But we need the anointing of God to do the things that he has called us to do. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So the things that Jesus did, he said he's sending us to go and do those very things. You and I have been called to preach good news to the poor. And what he said to the disciples, he referred to us too. Amen? Amen. Why did Jesus, he said, in fact, let me actually read Matthew chapter 10. We get into the passage, we'll be there shortly. But Jesus said to his disciples, I need you to know that the commission he gave to the disciples applies to us too, so that we will understand the passage that we are going into. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 to 8, I shall read it to you. Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 to 8, I'll read from the Amplified Version. It says, and as you go, Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He said, as you go, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Amen. Now, why did Jesus ask his disciples to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Because there is no sickness in heaven. Amen. And therefore, if we are going to preach the gospel, then we need to bring a bit of heaven down on earth. Amen. That's why Jesus said, when you go, or as you go, so as you go to your workplace, as you go to the school playground, in your home, wherever it is, when you speak, pray for people that a bit of heaven will come down right where they are. Amen? Amen. So, I give you permission now, and I know some of you are thinking, will me do that? So I give you permission now not to worry. If you find it hard that as Christians we've been called and we've been given authority to drive out spirits and heal the sick. Because during the apostles' time, there were a group of people who did not believe that. And when Peter healed this crippled guy at the gate Beautiful, they didn't believe that he had done that. And they kept questioning him, saying, in what name did you do this? How did you do it? They kept questioning. So if you are a bit skeptical at this point, I give you permission. It's okay, relax, keep listening. Amen? Yeah. That's okay, you won't be the only one. But today's message is Oaks of Righteousness. And now we're going to read Isaiah 61, 1 to 4. So I needed to introduce this so that you will know that the spirit that was upon Jesus when he did the things he did is upon you and I, because Jesus himself asked us to do these things. So Isaiah wrote about Jesus hundreds of years before Jesus was born, and this applied to Jesus when he ministered here on earth, and it applies to you and I too. Are you ready to read? Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 4. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will build the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Amen. Amen. God knows that there will be vulnerable people coming into the church. Amen. And it is his desire. I need to hear the amen. Amen. That's better. There are lots of people here. Shout the amen. God knows there will be vulnerable people coming into his church, but he doesn't want to leave them sitting the way they are. Thank you. He doesn't want to leave them sitting the way they are. So he says, I'm going to place my spirit upon you if you will make yourself available so that when these vulnerable people come in, you will minister to them and you will set them free. And when you set them free, they will be oaks of righteousness. Amen. That is what God is saying. So God's desire is that we will have life and have it abundantly. Remember, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God seeks to give us that abundant life. And wherever the enemy, God sees that the enemy is destroying lives, he says, now bring a bit of heaven down on earth for that person. Bring a bit of heaven down on earth for that person. That is compassion. Amen. Empathy is just spending loads and loads and loads of time with the person, nothing happens. Compassion is when you bring a bit of heaven down on earth. So when we talk about encountering God and being filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit coming upon you, don't resist it. Open and receive it, because it means you are then serviceable to God. Amen. Amen. For the sake of time, I won't go through Isaiah verses 1 to 4, verse by verse. I would love to, but if I did, we'll be here till evening. So I will spare you. I will pick a bit of it here and there, but we'll get to the point. So Jesus was sent to be our healer. Amen? And we today are called to heal in the name of Jesus. Amen? Jesus was sent to be our healer. We read about him in the Gospels. And he himself read Isaiah chapter 61. And he said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has sent me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. So Jesus was sent to be our healer. We are anointed and called to heal in the name of Jesus. Amen. God has anointed us, the ministers here in South Street, to bring good news to the humble and to the afflicted. And I know, I certainly know of people in this church who were told they had cancer. And we stood and we prayed with them. And you know what? They went back for tests and doctors said, there is no sign of cancer anymore. Amen? Oh, you can shout amen right there. Amen. I know of people, I definitely remember praying for this woman over and over again, because she said she had breast cancer. And God said to me, she does not have it, but she said she did. So I prayed, she went back for test, she came back and she said, the doctor said, there is nothing. Amen? Amen? That is something, that is what God does. God anoints his people so that we will minister to the vulnerable coming into the church. Amen? So that they will be set free. And when they are set free, remember, they are meant to give glory to God. Amen? And I know of people who could not conceive, and they were prayed for in this very church, and they have their children as proof in this church. Amen? Amen? God is good. God is here to give us life and give it abundantly. Amen? And as I'm speaking right now, be open, because God can touch you. Supposing you have a need in this church, God can touch you right where you are. You don't need someone to come and lay their hands on you for God to touch you. He can touch you right now. So I know the Spirit of God is here. So be open, because he can touch you sovereignly. Amen? Amen. He does that. And sometimes too, yes, he pours, when he wants to baptize you in his Holy Spirit, you don't need a hand to come upon you. God can do that sovereignly. I am a living product of that. Amen? Some of you have heard my story before. I came to this very room for a meeting. It was called a receiving meeting at that time, evening meeting. And the Spirit of God was moving in this place. And people were going about and praying for people. To my left, they were praying. To my right, they were praying. In front, they were coming and laying hands on people. Behind me, they were laying hands on people. This was about maybe 25 years ago in this very church. And I sat there, nobody came to lay their hands on me. And I thought, I don't believe this then. So if this is true, how come nothing is happening to me? If this is true, how come they are not praying for me? So I got up before the meeting finished and I walked out of this room. At that time, we just lived up on Blackheath Hill, just off Blackheath Hill. As I was walking home, that is when God touched me. and I cried all the way home. I wasn't crying like a lady. You know how ladies cry and they hide their tears because they don't want to ruin their makeup. I wasn't crying that way. I had no tissue on me to wipe it. My face, I was drenched. That is when I knew God was touching me. Amen. And my life has never been the same since that time. Amen. And I remember, as I was reflecting on that today, I remember God actually delivered me from something I had forgotten about. I had this inordinate fear. I don't know what it was. But walking down the road in the dark, I was so afraid. For every step I took, I looked behind me. Every step I took, I looked. I thought there was someone behind me. I was afraid of the dark. To even come out, at that time we lived in the block of flats. Melville House, it is not there anymore. To come out of that house or flat and put something in the chute. And if you know how the flats are, you only come out of the door and down there's a couple of steps. The chute is there to put the bin in. I was so afraid, I would ask my husband to do it. And sometimes he said, no, go and do it yourself. And I would look left and right, put it in, run back inside, shut the door. And I remember, since that time, I never had that fear in my life again. Amen? And therefore, God, when God, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there's so many things that he sets you free from. So I want you to just be open. For us, we are going through a period of we saying, Lord, come down in your power and touch us. Don't close up. Open up and receive what God is pouring into your spirit. Because remember, he comes to give you life and he comes to give it abundantly. Amen? He's not here to ruin you. He's here to give you abundant life. Amen? So how is God going to meet us? How is he going to set us free? He does that by his spirit. He says, it is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So be open and receive his spirit. His spirit is moving in this place. So if there is a need on your heart, cry out and say, Lord, I receive it. Speak into that need. And as the Holy Spirit is moving, touch into that need and let him meet you right now. Amen. And going back to God actually meeting our needs, I know of people who did not have jobs, and we stood and we prayed with them in this church, and now they have jobs. Amen. Amen. God has anointed us to bring good news to the poor, just as Jesus did. That is why we are called Christians, like Christ. We are supposed to do the things that Christ did. Amen. Jesus was sent as deliverer, and we are called to proclaim liberty to captives. Amen. There are those who are bound physically, or those who were bound, and when they came, they were bound physically, they were bound spiritually. Both groups are meant to be set free. And I know people who did not know Jesus as the leader and forgiver. When they came to South Street, they were bound spiritually, but now they know him, and now they are free. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. 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 I know those who, when they came to the church, they were in debt. Amen? Amen? And through teaching, and through coaching, and through help, they are now debt free. Hallelujah? Yes. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim freedom to the captives. These are people who were being held captive by debt, and they are now free. That is something to shout hallelujah about. Amen? And I know people who were in difficult relationships, some were in damaging relationships, and now as ministry to them from this church, they are now free. Amen. Amen. I know people who walked into this church who were totally broken, haggard, and heavily weighed down, and today they are set free. Amen. Amen. This is what it means when Isaiah says, we are called to proclaim liberty to captives. That is what we are doing in this church. Amen. Amen. Jesus was sent to be comforter, and we are called to comfort those who mourn. We have stood and still stand with those who mourn and look to God to comfort them. We do not look to the world. We look to God. Amen. Amen. He will give them, God says, he will give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, where people come into the church and they lay in ashes. And as usual, people who are in great mourning, people who are down and out, God says, God is saying they shall not only be raised out of the dust, but made to look pleasant. Amen. Amen. Being a joyous Christian is looking pleasant. Amen. Amen. And he says he will give them the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. As people come in and we minister to them, they come under the anointing and their circumstances change. Amen. Jesus was to be a planter for the church is God's vineyard. He is in charge of the management and conservation of the resources in churches. That is why he places his anointing upon us and he says, I will place my anointing upon you that those who make themselves available will be able to cure. You'll be able to cure wounds. So it is there. God has already created it. He says, this is what you will be able to do, but you need to make yourself available. Amen. Amen. Just let me bring in this example. As a mother, I cook. It is what I love to do. And the food is in the house. Some come at different times to the house. Sometimes we all eat together. Sometimes too, life is such that they come at different times. Now, if my family comes in hungry and they need to eat, the food is there. All they have to do is to go, dish it out, eat. Is that right? God has, or that isn't the case. Some people didn't say yes. Okay. That is what God has done. God has actually made a provision. He has said, you as a believer, I have anointed you and have given you power. The Spirit of God is there. Now you need to walk into it and then you'll be able to do these things. Amen? Amen. It is for us to claim it because it is already there. The food is there. Just go serve, eat. It is as simple as that. Amen? Amen. If one decides not to eat and they're hungry, it is not my fault. If you are walking in sadness, if you are walking defeated, it is not God's fault. It is your fault because you are not doing what God is asking you to do. Am I helping you at all?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. He says, I will place my anointing upon those who make themselves available so that they will cure the wounds of those who come in and release people from bondage and comfort those who are in sorrow so that, now this is the bit, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Amen.
Amen.
Now let me read it from the Amplified Version. I love the bit. It says, they will be called trees of righteousness, strong and magnificent, distinguished for integrity, justice, and right standing with God. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen?
Amen?
God knows that the vulnerable will come into the church. But he says, I'm going to anoint you so that when they come in, you will cure them, you will heal them, you will release them, that they will stand strong and be magnificent. My oak trees have disappeared. Please bring it back. So that they will stand strong and be magnificent. They'll be distinguished for integrity, justice. They'll be in right standing with God. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen.
Amen?
God knows that those coming in will come carrying heavy burdens. And his desire is to set them free. And then when you come into his vineyard, when you have been set free and you come into God's vineyard, when you come into the church, you bear fruit so that his name will be glorified. Amen. So God is setting us free. He's meeting our needs so that we will be serviceable to him as living trees, as oaks that he himself plants in the house of the Lord, flourishing in the courts of our God. And he does all this so that his name will be glorified. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oaks are giant trees. Oaks are trees that cannot be easily pushed over. You cannot easily uproot an oak tree, can you? And just a few uses of trees I'm going to read to you. It says, trees provide shade in the summer and they block wind in the winter. Trees add beauty to their surroundings. They bring character. They soften harsh lines of buildings. They screen unsightly views and enhance the character of an area. Trees improve air quality. Trees provide fruits and nuts for wildlife and humans, and the list goes on and on and on. God is saying, God is saying, you may walk into the church with some of the issues, some of the things that we have already listed in verses 1 to 3 of Isaiah chapter 61. But he says, I'm going to deliver you through the hands of those ministering to you. Then I, the Lord, will plant you in that ministry, and you will stand strong, amen, as an oak tree. You will stand strong with the ministers and provide shelter for someone else coming in with the difficulties that you yourself have been delivered from. Amen. The Lord says, I will deliver you from the above so that you'll be oaks of righteousness. So we know what an oak tree looks like. What is the meaning of righteousness? Righteousness means to be in right standing with God. That we will know what is right in the word of God and do it. Amen? Amen? Righteousness means to be in right standing with God. That we will know what is right in the word of God and do it. Just to explain in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 25, it explains righteousness, which says, it will be considered, that is, righteousness will be considered righteous for us. That is, to be in right standing with God if we are careful to observe all of his commands before the Lord our God, just as he has commanded us. Amen? God said, I have anointed my people to deliver you from the things that hold you back. But when you are delivered, when you have received good news, I will plant you in the ministry so that you can help reach out to others. Amen? Amen. As you come into membership, or as a member of this church, or as a regular attender, and your needs are being met in this church, what then is required of you? Because oak trees provide shade, they provide shelter, it improves the air quality. So oak trees are meant to do something for the environment. Is that right? And God himself said, I'm going to deliver you from all of the above so that you'll be oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. God is planting you where you are being, your needs are being met. Amen? So if you are becoming a member, or you are a member or a regular attender, then what then should you do? Commit to attend church regularly. Amen? Amen? Just as those who minister to you are consistent and they walk the path with you, and today you are where you are, in the same way, be consistent in attending so that you can be depended on. Amen. That was such a low amen. Amen. How odd would it be? I love going through, driving through Greenwich Park or walking through it. And the lovely trees in Greenwich Park or any park that you walk through. How odd would it be if one day you walk through the park and the trees were there to admire in it all its color. And the following day you go, and the trees are uprooted, no trees. And you go back the next day, and the trees are being planted back again. And you go back, and the trees are uprooted. How odd is that going to be? So it is. When people have said, yes, we will commit to serve this church, and yet they are not consistent in attending, or they are not regular in lending their help. Oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. He has done something in your life. He wants you to come consistently so that people will see what God is doing in your life so that it will glorify him. Amen. Amen. You have been healed, restored, ministered to, and rescued. And as you have recovered, give permission for us to train you to do the very things that we do. We don't want to do this by ourselves. We want you to be part of it. That is why we do the series that we do. That is why we teach you the things we do. I remember there was a time we did spiritual disciplines. We were saying, we did a survey in this church and we said, how can we help the congregation grow? Because we want people, we want lots of people to be service leaders. We want lots of people to speak. We want lots of people to join the worship ministry. We want lots of people to join children's work. But how can you do it if you don't know? So we set out to teach you step by step by step how to grow in your faith. Amen? So that you can join us. So if you are members in the church, if you are regular attenders, then lend yourselves to be trained so that you can do the things that we do. Amen? Amen. But it is not cheap. For God to fill you with His Spirit, you need to position yourself for Him to do it. It will cost you. It will cost you something. Don't tell me it is hard. Of course it is hard. Was it easy when Jesus went on the cross? You think it was easy? Christmas is coming. We see a manger right here behind me. And of course, what happened thousands of years ago before He came on earth was He took off His robe, His royal robe. If you read in the book of Revelation, He took off His royal robe. He took off the sash that was across Him. He took off, He says His face was like burning bronze. His hair was as white as wool. And His eyes were, was it like fire? And He laid all that aside. And then He said, I will come as man. And I will wrap a towel around my waist. And I'll go on my knees and I'll wash your feet. You think it was easy for Him to do it? Why then do we want an easy life as Christians? To be anointed, you have to give up something and it will cost you. So what is required of you as someone who has been planted in this church by the Lord? Give off your time to help someone else come into the church. That is volunteering. Amen. Use the gifts God has given you to edify the church and bring Him glory. Every believer has at least one gift. The day you cross the line of faith, the day you said, yes, Jesus, I now understand who you are, and I want you to come and live in my life. He came. He came by His Spirit. And when He came, He did not come empty-handed. He came bearing gifts. And then He said, the purpose of that gift is for you to use it to edify my church. Amen? Amen. The purpose of that gift is for you to use it to edify my church. We will not lack volunteers in this church. If we haven't ministered to you, you also gave of yourself to minister to others. And God views it seriously indeed. That He will place gifts. And God knows, remember I said, this is His vineyard. So when He brings you, He knows what gifts He's placed inside of you that you can contribute to let this church be strong. Amen? Amen. And to be vibrant. That will touch the community. And when He has placed that gift in you and you don't use it, one day you will give an account of it. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 25. It's a long read, but unless I read it, I worry that you may go home and forget. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. Are you there? Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. That's the parable of the talents. If someone is sitting next to you and they don't have a Bible, please share. I do want them to see what is in the Bible. It is not Irene said, it is what God is speaking in His word. Verse 14, for it is like a man who was about to take a journey and he called his servants together and entrusted them with his possessions. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. And then he went on his journey. The one who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made a profit and gained 5 more. Likewise, the one who had 2 made a profit and gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came and brought him 5 more, saying, Master, you entrusted to me 5 talents. See, I have made a profit and gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trusted and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have made a profit and gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in the joy of your master." Amen. Amen. The one who had received one talent also came forward saying, "Master, I knew you to be a harsh and demanding man, reaping the harvest where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid to lose the talent, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is your own." But his master answered him, "You wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I reap the harvest where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter seed. Then you ought to have put my money where with the bankers, and at my return, I would have received my money back with interest. So take the talent away from him. Give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has and values, listen, for to everyone who has and values his blessings and gifts from God and has used them wisely, more will be given, and he will be richly supplied so that he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, because he has ignored or disregarded his blessings and gifts from God, even what he does have will be taken away. And throw out the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place of grief and torment, there will be weeping over sorrow and pain and grinding of teeth over distress and anger." Jesus gives us gifts so that we will use it to glorify his name. When we don't use those gifts, we do not glorify him, and he is not pleased with that. Amen. That's a very quiet amen. Amen. And I pray that if you are here and you are not using your gift, you'll be convicted and you'll start using it. Because imagine a church where all were bringing their gifts to bear. What a powerful church this would be. And how impoverished we are when gifts are not used in the church. It is equally dangerous to simply volunteer and not know the God you serve. It is equally dangerous to simply volunteer and not know the God you serve. Make a note of this passage, please, and meditate on it. If you are someone who volunteers without knowing the God you serve, or you know someone who volunteers without knowing the God, please meditate on this and pray for that person. Matthew chapter 7. I'll read verses 22 and 23. Again, Jesus was saying this. He said, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles?' And then Jesus says, 'I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Pray for any such person you know. Or if you yourself fall into that category, pray for yourself. God will hear you. He will deliver you. He will put fire in your belly if only you want it. Amen. Imagine a church. Imagine what this church would be like if those with the gift of evangelism use their gift in this church to bring people in. Imagine what this church would be like if those who were gifted to help with children's work or youth work or worship or any other ministry actually brought their gifts to bear. Imagine what this church would be like. What is required of you as a member or someone whose needs have been met in this church? Or what is required of you as oaks of righteousness? One area that you need to consider as someone who has been planted in this church or someone that this church is blessing is to give financially to support your church. Amen. Amen. Someone gave to support this ministry so that it would be here for you and I to benefit from today. Amen. We need to leave a legacy for the next generation. R.T. Kendall, in his book, The Gift of Giving, says God owns everything but will have nothing unless his people give to him. In a word, he says God depends on us to tithe. And without we tithing in God's house, there'll be nothing. I'm going to read a portion from his book. And as I read, I pray that God will speak into our hearts. This was a man of God who wrote the book many, many years ago. He says, there is nothing more disgraceful than a church that struggles financially simply because its people will not tithe. A tithe, by the way, is 10% of your earnings. He goes on to say that there is not a church in the world today that should have any financial problem whatsoever if all its members would tithe. In most cases, were every member to tithe, he says, the minister would not only receive his double honor, but the church would always have money to pay its material needs. Not only that, the church could support missions with abundance and never once need to have a jumble sale. He goes on to say that we won't be tithing in heaven. There will be no soul winning in heaven. There will be no promise of blessing upon obedience in heaven. What we do for God, we must do now. We can rest in heaven. We can learn in heaven, but we are not in heaven yet. Think what could be done for the church of God in the world were every church member to begin to tithe right now. It would be wonderful. So much more could be done in this church. Tithing helps a church plan its budget. Just as you know that because you work or you are on benefits, at the end of the month or the week, you get X amount of money. So based on X amount of money, you know you can pay your rent. You know you can pay your mortgage. You know you can shop. You know you can buy clothes. You know you can do this. The church needs to budget just as much as you do. When the members of the church don't tithe, it cripples a church because it never knows what it will get in any given month. Some say they don't have money, so they cannot tithe. But God gave you the job. And he knows what he gives you. He knows how much you earn. And your ministers are praying over you week in, week out for God to protect your job. For God to give you money in unexpected ways. For God to increase your incomes. And some of you are getting increments. Some of you are getting bonuses. But what is said time and time again is, I don't have money. And today, I just want you to be honest with yourself. Rather than say, I don't have money, say, I don't want to give. It is more honest. I'll tell you what happens. When someone says, I don't have money, what they say is, after I have paid for my rent or my mortgage and I have bought my clothing, my shoes, and I've put money away for holiday and I've done this, there is nothing left, God. So sorry, I have nothing to give you. But just as tax is taken out at source by the government, and you and I have no say in whether they take the tax out or not, you and I have no say when it comes to paying a tithe, because it is scriptural. Amen. Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God's. He was referring to paying a tithe or giving a tithe. If one can save to go on holiday or buy clothes and shoes, then that person can tithe. You do so according to your means. You do so according to your means. If you only earn £5 a month, you only pay 10% of the £5, no more. If you cannot afford it. If you earn £5,000 a month, £5,000 a month, then you pay 10% of that. We know how to work percentages. The same percentage that is out there in the world is what it is when you're applying it to God's word. Amen. Amen. The tithe comes out first. Then you live on what you have. That is obeying scripture. So when God says, I'm going to deliver you from all of the things that I have listed in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3. And then he says, so that you be oaks of righteousness, you be a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor or for the display of his glory. It means obeying scripture so that this church will stand to glorify his holy name. And there are things that you need to do to bring glory to God. Amen. It is tiring when people come in broken, haggard, distressed, family in trouble, and they are ministered to, their needs are met, and you can visibly see that they are clothed with a garment of praise. Rather than they saying, thank you, how can I help you? Help other people going through what I was going through. They pick themselves up. They uproot themselves from the church and say, sorry, I found another ministry, I am going. So if you are being ministered to in this church, if God is planting you in, old and new members, regular attenders, then plant yourself in here and help us reach other people, because we are tired. We are tired, and we are tired doing the same thing over and over and over again. Come and help us. Come and help us. Give of yourself. Yes, you have to give up something to be able to attend small group to learn. We want to train you, do the very things that we do. Give of yourself to attend prayer service. We want to train you as to how to stand and to pray. Give of yourself to be part of worship team. There are people who I know are gifted in this church and could be part of worship, but they are too comfortable in their ways. They cannot be disturbed. Imagine what this church would be like. Just imagine what this church would be like if everyone brought their gifts to bear. Imagine what this church would be like if we allowed the Spirit of God to fill us so that we would meet needs out there in the community. Imagine what this church would be like. So as you come into membership, Mrs. Chambers, Lorraine, Kellyanne, and for the rest of us who are already members and regular attenders, ask God, how can I be fruitful in this vineyard that you have planted me in for the display of your splendor? Amen.